Welcome to Radio Oldie, brought to you by Bailey Gifford. This is a recording from the monthly Oldie Literary Lunch at the National Liberal Club. To book a ticket, please go to www.theoldie.co.uk/lunches. Our next speaker, Jeremy Hunt, knows better than anyone else, possibly in the world, what Rachel Reeves faces next month at her budget. Rachel's got a mere, I think, £34 billion deficit. Jeremy had, I think, £72 billion deficit when he took on being Chancellor of the Exchequer after Kwasi Kwarteng's disastrous mini-budget. And he's written an extremely enjoyable, very optimistic book, Can We Be Great Again? Why a Dangerous World Needs Britain. Ladies and gentlemen, former Foreign Secretary and Chancellor of the Exchequer, Jeremy Hunt.
Thank you very much indeed, Harry. And one of the things that Rachel Reeves certainly does not have time to do at the moment is write a book. And I have to say that it has been enormously pleasurable to spend time writing. And when you write, you discover lots of things about yourself that you didn't know. I thought I was the first MP in my family. And I discovered that my great-grandfather was a Liberal MP, so I'm not totally out of sorts in this club. And my great-great-great-grandfather's nephew was not just an MP, but he was called George Ward Hunt. He was also, for a year, Chancellor. And quite an interesting Chancellor, because he was Disraeli's Chancellor, and he only delivered one budget, and he arrived at the House of Commons, and he'd forgotten his speech. And so he had to go back to number 11 to get his speech, and the members of the House of Commons were very cross about this, and maybe because of that, after the general election that happened later that year, he wasn't reappointed as Chancellor. And his successor, before he went to do his budget, stood in front of the door of number 11 and held up a red box, shaking it, to say, "This has got a speech in it." And that is how the famous tradition started. So I didn't know that I had that connection. But I wrote this book because I think it's time we cheered up as a country. I think there is far too much doom and gloom. And I had the great privilege of being this country's diplomat-in-chief as Foreign Secretary. And when you become Foreign Secretary, it's not quite in the way that Francis describes it. It's a sort of out-of-body experience, though, because you get shown up. I'll never forget it. It was a Monday evening in July 2018. You shown up to your office, and it is the grandest office in Whitehall. Absolutely. It's probably the size of this room, with beautiful oak panels and books, and your desk is right in the corner. And you think, and it's about three times bigger than the Prime Minister's office. And you really do think, bloody hell, is this my office? And then you think, and I think every Foreign Secretary, and I'm sure it was the same for Yvette Cooper 3 weeks ago when she took over, you all have the same thought. Is this just an imperial delusion? Are we kidding ourselves? And then you give all these speeches saying what important country we are. And I thought, when I leave, I'm going to write a book to get to the bottom of this. And it's called Can We Be Great Again, which is a slightly MAGA-like title. But I don't think Donald Trump should have a monopoly on the word great. And my definition of a great country is a country that can shape the world as well as be shaped by it. And I took in the book the seven or eight largest, most serious issues the world faces, from security in Europe to the future of democracy, the migration crisis, climate change, human rights. And I looked at them and I said, what do the experts say about Britain's influence in tackling these global problems? And without exception, they said that out of 193 countries in the United Nations, we are always in the top 10 most influential, often in the top five. And, you know, we are the fifth least corrupt country in the G20, fourth highest level of media freedom, the third best at tackling climate change, the second most generous when it comes to giving to charity. We have in Europe the top military, the top universities, the top tech sector, more hard power, more soft power than anyone else in Europe. And this is not a book that's saying, you know, we're better than other countries. I would say exactly the same thing to an audience of French or Aussies or Americans or Germans. It's saying the world is so dangerous at the moment that the worst thing we can do is to underestimate our own influence. We should be rolling up our sleeves and trying to solve the big problems that we face. And it is for that reason it is an optimistic book. And the book opens with one of my favourite sayings by the founder of Singapore, Lee Kuan Yew, who says, if you are just realistic, you become pedestrian and you will fail. Therefore, you must find a way to soar above the reality and say, this is also possible. Now, in the book, there are lots of stories. And by the way, all the profits go to my local hospital, so it's all going to a good cause, but including the worst moment of my entire life, when I called my Chinese wife Japanese. And you will have to read the book to find out exactly how that rather unfortunate thing happened. But I thought I would just leave you with the story of the first time that I met Donald Trump. And so I was appointed on that Monday evening in July 2018. On Wednesday, I went to the NATO summit in Brussels. This is the famous NATO summit at which Donald Trump nearly pulled America out of NATO. And, you know, I've been in the job 2 days, and I can't say I knew a great deal about foreign policy, but ask me about hospitals. I've been health secretary for 6 years. I could tell you anything. But I went to a meeting on the civil war in Syria that was happening at the time, and I read my brief, and the Canadian foreign minister said that if Assad won the civil war, we should worry about these brave humanitarian fighters called the White Helmets that we were supporting, rescue people from buildings that Assad had bombed, and he was, you know, likely to kill them if he won. Anyway, I didn't contribute to the meeting very much because I didn't really know what I was talking about. And then on the Friday, came back from the NATO summit, and I had to go to Chequers to meet Donald Trump for a bilateral with Theresa May. And there were about 8 people in the meeting. And I have to say, I had a little bit of imposter syndrome. I thought, what on earth am I going to say? I've literally been doing this job 4 days. And it's, you know, President Trump and Theresa May. And I thought, I know. I love Theresa May dearly. But despite her tremendous sense of public service, she's not the world's best at small talk. So I thought, if there are any awkward moments, her diplomat in chief will step in. And so we had a briefing on the Middle East from C, the head of MI6. And then the briefing finished. Donald Trump, who was on best behavior because he was a bit embarrassed the night before he'd done an interview with The Sun, at which he'd said that Boris would make a great prime minister. So he was feeling a bit embarrassed about that. So he was very charming and heard this briefing, and he said, that's really interesting. So what are we going to do about it? And then we had a silence from Theresa May. And I thought, maybe this is my moment. What do I say? And I couldn't think of anything. So I said nothing. And then a few moments later, we had another Theresa May silence. And finally, when it came to the third Theresa May silence, I said, Mr. President, if Assad wins the civil war, we need to think about what's going to happen to the White Helmets. And he looked up at me and he said, are they good guys or bad guys? And I said, Mr. President, they're good guys. But then I had a problem because I had come to the end of the runway. I knew absolutely nothing more. At which point, our ambassador to Washington, Sir Kim Darroch, did what all good ambassadors do. He passed me a note. And the note said that the issue was that the White Helmets could only be evacuated over the border with Israel, and Israel wouldn't allow any Syrians over the border. So I said, the issue is, Mr. President, the White Helmets can only be evacuated over the border with Israel, dot, 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 dot. And he thought for a moment and he said, well, if they're good guys, we should get them out. And John Bolton, who was sitting next to him, said, I'll square off the Israelis. And after lunch, Bolton came up to me and said, I've squared off the Israelis. And 2 weeks later, 98 white helmets and their families, 411 Syrians in total, were evacuated across the border. And the proudest possession I have from my time as Foreign Secretary is not a glamorous sword from the Sultan of Oman, it is a white builder's helmet. All thanks to Theresa May's silences. So it's all in the book, and I hope you enjoy it if you buy it. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Radio Aldi, brought to you by Bailey Gifford. Why not get 3 trial issues of the Aldi magazine for just £1? Sure you'll enjoy it. We'll then charge you £25.75 for every 6 issues. Just go to checkout.theoldi.co.uk/offers and enter old trial as one word in capitals. That's checkout.theoldi.co.uk/offers and enter old trial.